Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This week we have on a very popular guest that's been on the show a few times before, and that's Lee Smith. Last week, his new book came out called The Permanent Coup. A lot of you know his first book, which is right behind me here, called The Plot Against the President, was a number one bestseller. Lee, it's great to have you back on the podcast. I think your episode with you and Ray Appleton that we filmed here at the Fox Theater in downtown Visalia, just about 10 miles from here, is our most listened and watched show of all time. We had about 1,000 people there that evening. So I know there's a lot of people that are anxious to get to what's the next part of this long drawn out saga that is, you know, basically for me, it's been a very unpleasant journey the last 4 years, watching the degradation of the Department of Justice and the FBI, of our entire intelligence apparatus, especially someone like me as the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, now the top Republican on the committee. This has been both sad, it makes you angry, it ticks you off. People want to see justice, no one more than me. But you've been one of the best reporters on this, of the very few reporters. I say that not to degrade you at all, but yeah, as you well know, there's not been a lot of reporters on this. I think, you know, probably if you were being on a good day, if you included even the talk show hosts, you know, like a Dan Bongino and people like that that have covered this and some of the podcasters, you'd probably be less than 25 Americans that are either beat reporters to investigative reporters to talk show hosts to podcasters, probably 25 total. You may be able to add in a few anonymous Twitter accounts like Undercover Huber and Technofog and some of these guys. Nobody knows who they are, but very, very few Americans have been on this case like you. Congratulations. I hope this book does very, very well. So let's get right into it, because for the first time, just last week, finally, one of the dirty lawyers, dirty cops, corrupt cops, the one that was kind of at the center, I always like to call this was the center of the spoke. This is the lawyer that was involved with everybody. In fact, he knew this because he made the statement, Viva la resistance, when asked after complaining that he was the one whose name was on all the paperwork regarding Donald Trump and his campaign. So let's take it from there. I'm sure that my listeners and audience want to hear directly from you. What do you make of the Klein Smith plea last week?
Right. Well, I mean, we started to find out about the about what Kevin Klein Smith had done with the IG report, in which came out December 2019. And I actually have a section in the book, a very fun section, I think, though depressing, where I ask you about your reception of the IG report and the news about Kevin Klein Smith altering an email. And you have a great line in there about how it takes the meaning of dirty cops to a new level, and how we expect professionalism and integrity, especially at the levels these guys get to at the FBI. And these guys just went over the top with what they did. I'm optimistic about this for a number of different reasons. First of all, though Kevin Klein Smith, though people are saying that, you know, the press organizations that served as a Russiagate platform, like the New York Times and the Washington Post, they've tried to downplay all of this by saying that Klein Smith was a low-level lawyer. In fact, we know he was in the middle of it. He was part of Crossfire Hurricane.
Well, you probably know his exact words off the top of your head, but we know from his text message that he himself was worried because he was in the middle of it. He admitted he was in the middle of it. He was like the go-to guy that was, everything was funneling through him as he was filling out all the paperwork.
My name is all over those documents, right? So he is absolutely 100% in the middle of it. And we talk about the email that he altered in June 2017 when they were renewing the warrant to spy on Carter Page and get to what was then the Trump White House, not the Trump campaign, but to get into the Trump White House. But there's something else, too, that we forget a lot, is that in August 2016, the CIA sent a memo saying that Carter Page had been a CIA source these guys at the Crossfire Hurricane team, they just stashed it away. And so the entire...
I just want to make sure that our audience understands this. This email, this information came to the FBI from the CIA at the very beginning when they were opening up this investigation, just to be perfectly clear. So you're talking about the summer of 2016.
Right.
Well before they go to get a FISA warrant on Carter Page.
Right.
They know about this because it's when they open up the umbrella investigation using Papadopoulos, which we still don't have the, you know, we haven't got to the bottom of that because this was clearly some type of Cambridge Club operation with the High Commissioner Alexander Downer from Australia. All of you Russiagate fanatics know what I'm talking about.
Well, I was taken for granted that you have a great, enormous audience, and everyone knows when they're watching you, and especially if you're interviewing someone who knows about Russiagate, that it's going to get very into the weeds, and people like that. But of course, it is important to make sure that everyone understands.
Well, Lee, I do think that probably 90% of our audience knows this, but it is funny because often I'll get messages on a daily basis. Like, hey, I just started reading about this. Like, I'm following a lot of it, but what does this mean? And so I think it's always important to go back to that. So they open on Papadopoulos, essentially the Australian ambassador in the UK, in the United Kingdom, was the one who caused all this to happen with our US State Department in the UK. All of this information was brought forward on Papadopoulos. At the same time, they were already looking at Carter Page, inviting Carter Page to come to the UK to attend seminars, including other Trump people like Stephen Miller, who's in the White House still today. They were being invited to come over to what I call the Cambridge Club. That was all happening. So when they get further down the road, despite what the con artists at the FBI and DOJ say, they didn't just have this aha moment at the end of July, first part of August, and said, oh my God, we're going to open up an entire sprawling investigation into the Trump campaign. Right. These dirty cops have been working on this for many, many months, I think dating back to late 2015. We'll see if Durham, the U.S. attorney who's now been assigned to this case, or any of the other U.S. attorneys that are working on this, if they can actually figure out when the dirty cops of the FBI started this investigation. But ultimately, they use Papadopoulos, because they know they can't use, they have no reason to go after General Flynn or the other people that they named in Crossfire Hurricane, Paul Manafort. These are all well-known actors. And in fact, with Manafort, they had already had an investigation into Manafort. He was a longtime swamp creature lobbyist who had been in Washington, you know, like all the other people in Washington that, you know, that work and then ultimately become lobbyists. So it would have been preposterous. I think even Waleed Faris, you know, is rumored to be one, you know, longtime think tank guy.
Right.
So they had to pick on some weak links. So who do they pick on? They pick on George Papadopoulos, who is, you know, essentially, someone who had been a young fellow intern at the Hudson Institute. Nobody really knew him. And then, of course, Carter Page, who was kind of an obscure figure also, but had not been really involved in politics. So they open up the investigation on Papadopoulos, the umbrella investigation, then they populate it with these well-known figures like General Flynn. So I only give that background for those of you who are new.
Great.
Probably a lot of you know about it.
Right.
But that's why this is what's so corrupt about this is they have this information. They, the FBI, have this information from the CIA about Carter Page. Carter Page had been an asset of the CIA. He graduated from the Naval Academy. He had become a stockbroker and had lived in Moscow and was doing research on Russia. By the way, that's not, despite what you may hear, every major company in the United States of America that has a global business, I have news for you.
Yeah.
Don't believe the fake news. They have multiple consultants, including oligarchs, where? In Moscow. And many of the people that are tied up with this, including Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele, guess what? They have ties to oligarchs in Moscow.
Yes.
So Lee, sorry to interrupt you with all that, but I just wanted to make sure we did.
No, that was great. And you were actually talking about some things that really do get into details. For instance, it's very interesting the way that you talked about why they opened up on George Papadopoulos, why they got the FISA on Carter Page, because this is something even people who have followed the story very closely, they don't quite understand why it happened and in this order. So that was terrific. And that's really great detail and really important. To come back to the Kevin Kleinsmith issue. So in January, or rather June 2017, when they wanted to renew the warrant to spy on Carter Page, they reached out to the CIA, which actually sent an email back saying, like, yes, he was a source for us. Klein Smith altered the email to write he was not a source. So this was discovered by Michael Horowitz. And this is the first charge so far. Klein Smith pled guilty, and this is the first charge so far in the case. And we've spoken about this a bit, but it makes me very optimistic. I think that the Attorney General Barr, put it in the proper context. It's not earth-shattering, but it's important, and it shows that the direction of the investigation is heading in the right way. I believe that the nature of the agreement, I don't have a tremendous amount of insight into this, I don't think anyone does, but it suggests that Mr. Klein Smith is supposed to be cooperating now with Mr. Durham's investigation. For instance, Klein Smith said, my colleagues or some of the Crossfire Hurricane agents saw the email before it was unchanged, which leads into a fantastic question for Durham investigators. Really, who are the people who saw the original email from the CIA? Did one of those people tell you to change it? How did they respond? What did they say? So, again, I'm very optimistic about it, though I know that that all of us, as I quote you saying in the book, in the first chapter, that no one wants to get to the bottom of this. The president may be number one, but after that, you would be number two. So I'm optimistic that we will get there.
Yeah. And I'm only number two because they actually did target the president himself. But being a target of these dirty cops and all their shenanigans over the last 4 years, and the Clinton campaign operators and all of those folks and the fake news media, I very much want to get to the bottom of this more than anybody else out there. So that's why I always laugh about the people who are always like, why don't you guys do something? Why don't you guys do something? I always have to remind people, number one, I don't have a gun and I don't have a badge. I don't have the ability to go and arrest. All I can do legally under our U.S. Constitution is make criminal referrals. But trust me, all of you that are out there that are listening to this right now, I can guarantee you for everything that I've had to deal with these, I don't want to use any profanity on my podcast because I have a clean podcast here, Lee.
Yeah.
And if I did something, YouTube and Google and Apple and iTunes would probably put me under the you wouldn't be able to find it anymore, just like you can't find it on YouTube. So I'm going to not use any bad words, but trust me, nobody wants these guys as bad as I do to go down and pay a price. And I think that our democratic republic hinges on this investigation. And I'm not being overly dramatic here to say that if these people don't pay a price for this, the ability to weaponize the most powerful intelligence agencies ever built on the face of the planet, where we spend tens of billions of dollars a year, and to weaponize it against your opponents is preposterous to think that that can continue. And we're headed to a very dark place in this country if Attorney General Barr and Durham and the other U.S. attorneys that are working on this are not successful. And I think they understand the gravity of the situation that we're in right now.
I do too. There's something else that you've said, which I've thought about more over the last few days, especially as we see the eruption of this new crackpot conspiracy theory regarding the mailboxes. Yeah. Trump is somehow eating the mailboxes like a big orange chupacabra or something like that.
Hey, chupacabras are back. That's my turn, man.
The mailboxes are disappearing. And astonishing.
Just so people know, I always used to describe the Russiagate hoax, I always used chupacabra, that, you know, somehow all of these mainstream media freak shows and the Democrats in Congress, you know, they always said, we found the chupacabra, which, you know, chupacabra is a mythical animal that doesn't exist. But they were always telling and poisoning the people of American minds that there were chupacabras running around everywhere. They just couldn't see them yet. Also, I can define it as chasing Russian ghosts and Ukrainian ghosts in the closet. But anyway, I just want to make sure that you're not taking my turn.
They invented the phrase in my birthplace in Puerto Rico, so I can use chupacabra a little bit as well.
I'm going to get some T-shirts made. Chupacabra hunt.
Well, this is one of the terrible things that's happened, and we've spoken about this before, too. You have the justice issues, the legal issues, the fact that these guys use the authority of the federal government to programs and resources of the federal government to spy on political opponents, to bankrupt people, to put them in jail. But there's another aspect too, and the fact that the press and the intelligence community have been using these insane conspiracy theories to poison the public sphere, that also has us on the precipice of tremendous danger. So this, I think, is also terrible. And even though we recognize that a lot of the people in the press are not going to cover this, it's important to get out the correct information so that people who are looking for the right information understand what happened, and they understand how the press coordinated with these dirty cops to inject a conspiracy theory into the American public sphere, which is tremendously dangerous.
And it continued. It's not just that they started this in late 2015. It was concocted by operatives of the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. They colluded with foreigners, including Russians, okay, even though they made a lot of this up, but they had an operative, a Russian national, that was supposedly their key, you know, their primary subsource, which is laughable because he was actually a Brookings Institute guy formerly. Right. And it wasn't a source at all. He was an employee of Steele's.
Right.
Which, by the way, I still have no idea why the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and the Director of the FBI, Chris Wray, hid that. They had to have known that this dude was living, you know, a couple miles from where we were meeting at when we were asking, who's this source? What is the deal here? Are we going to get to talk to the source? And of course, you know, nothing ever happened with that. They never gave us the name of the source. And you know, this is why. And this is what, you know, if Wray and Rosenstein knew Steele's source, which I have no evidence that they did, but I find it hard to believe they didn't.
I find it hard to believe they didn't too. I mean, they had that interview from January 2017. You'd imagine that someone would have said, hey, you guys should know that we interviewed the person that was apparently Steele's source. How would Rosenstein and Wray not know?
Yeah, I don't know that for sure. So I don't want to, you know, it's hard for me to believe also. But the overall point here is that for the most powerful intelligence agencies and investigative agencies in the world to already know that Steele was being paid by the Democrats.
Right.
Then further that all of this salacious stuff that this dude that they essentially made up, and then they pick who? Oh, no, this is not a Russian. This is not a Ukrainian. This is not a Chi-Com. This is not even a Chupacabra Lee. Yeah. It's who? It's somebody that does what? Oh, works for Steele.
Right.
Somebody living right outside the swamp, a swamp creature himself that's getting paid by Christopher Steele. That's a source? That gets to be a source? Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, it's just, it's the whole thing is preposterous. And if Wray and Rosenstein knew that, I mean, maybe they'll have to take it to their graves, but Wray's, but shame on them. I mean, you almost wonder, they became part of this too, as you go down the road. I'm not saying there's any criminality there other than obstructing a congressional investigation and misleading Congress, which, you know, hopefully Durham can get to the bottom of that. I don't know if he will, but there's so many people that fall into that category. It's astounding.
Right.
So, Lee, you know, we're going to have you on again. This is kind of part one, but give people just a primer. We're going to go in part two this week. We'll talk about kind of what's in the book, but give everybody kind of your top three or four things that you think are different from The Plot Against the President, which was really essentially a book about House Republicans on the Intelligence Committee and our investigation that unearthed all of this. What direction do you go now with what you call the permanent coup?
Right. Well, it picks up where The Plot Against the President left off, and it starts in the first chapter where you are in California and I'm with you, and we're speaking about how things are going. And one of the important things, I think the most important point, and this is really what I mean by permanent coup, we're talking about the series of operations that the press, Democratic operatives, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, whether it's Adam Schiff, whether it's Mark Warner, the number of different people who have stuck their finger into this mess, along with intelligence bureaucrats, the number of different operations. We saw that Russiagate or collusion rolled into the bogus Mueller probe. We saw that turn into immediately, within 24 hours, that turned into Ukraine Gate, which rolled into the bogus impeachment inquiry. There was the weaponization of the coronavirus. And now we see the riots and the razing and looting of American cities. And my argument is that these are operations that are targeting not just the president, that the president is the immediate target, but it's really going after how we live as Americans. The coup is really meant to overturn the country that we were raised in, the country that we love, the country that we revere. And this is something that you talk about. So listeners and viewers know, this is something that you put very well in the opening chapter of The Permanent Coup, talking about how people, immigrants who want to come to the country, like your family from the Azores, people who wanted all sorts of freedom here. They wanted economic freedom. They wanted political freedom. They wanted to be able to raise their families in freedom. And now they've been tricked, because what they're walking into is a kind of trap, where what the Democrats are pushing now are forms of socialism, forms of different tyranny. And this is really not an exaggeration to say that this is part of what we've been seeing the last couple months, as the DNC has sent out what has effectively become their frontline militia in BLM to go after American cities. This started, why Russiagate is so important, it's not just because it was the initial operation, it's also because of the scope and the destructiveness of Russiagate, how it filled the public sphere, how it poisoned the minds of Americans, and also what they did, spying on political opponents, bankrupting, imprisoning political opponents. This is third world regime stuff. This is banana republic stuff. This is not America. It's not, it can't be anyone's sense of America, but we have to ask. And this is one of the questions, if not the main question, that my book asks: what does Barack Obama, what does the Democratic Party mean by the transformation of America? We're now seeing, for the last 4 years, we're seeing the explanation unfold. It means espionage operations against political opponents, Americans doing this to Americans. It means violence in our streets. So the book is also about, it's about people who are fighting this. And you're, as we found out in California, speaking to different people, people put you and the president right at the top of the list. They ask, who else is fighting this? We see Devin Nunes fighting. We see President Trump fighting. So the book is about other people who are fighting as well as you and the president, including General Flynn.
Well, the fight will continue, Lee. And that's probably a good segue. I want to thank you for being on, and thank all the listeners. You can actually follow Lee on Parler. He's now on Parler now. Never go to the Twitter sewer, even though Lee is in the Twitter sewer. But hopefully you're watching this on Rumble. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you go over to Rumble. And we're continuing to talk about who you can follow, what you can read. And so the key is, over the last few weeks on the podcast, we've had on the Parler CEO, we've had on the Rumble CEO. These are alternatives to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then, of course, Rumble is an alternative to YouTube. And many of you have been asking about Rumble. Their app is now updated where they have a feed. So that's going to be great for those of you who have made the switch from YouTube to Rumble. And then, of course, we've talked about some of the different news sites you can go to, or some of the authors that you can read. So you can actually read Lee Smith when he's not writing a book. He writes for Tablet. He writes for Real Clear Investigations, Just the News, and The Federalist. Lee, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
We will get into the chupacabras on the next episode.
All right.
Or maybe not. But we'll see. Maybe we'll talk chupacabras. Maybe we won't, Lee. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm always up for talking about chupacabras.
Chupacabra episode here.
You know, Jack is not going to like that.
Yeah, that is true. My press guy, Jackie, hates when I say chupacabras on the House floor or anywhere else or on the news. So anyway, Lee, thanks a lot, man, for being on this week. And we'll catch you all here in a few days, and we'll talk about the permanent coup.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
It's Devin Nunes. Catch you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith.
We're already half the way there.
We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.